Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Father, we just want to thank you for this precious time. We want to thank you, Lord God, for this time set aside just to devote ourselves to you. We thank you for beautiful worship. We thank you for this beautiful family of God that you have placed us in. And we pray, Lord God, we want to hear your heart today. We want you to impart something to us, Lord God. Let us all walk out of this place more like you, Jesus. Amen. 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 So, last week, I was speaking to Pastor Raf, and he said that I could actually change the topic that I was speaking about because we've been talking about finances. And I really felt that I still wanted to bring a word about something about money, something about money. Now, don't switch off, everyone. Don't switch off. Last week, Pastor JJ, how excited are we meeting Pastor JJ? I have a spring in my step. It's just amazing. He preached a life-giving message on tithing. And he talked about a tithing helps to bring an open heaven, and it helps us to walk in freedom and in power. So today, we will focus on giving in ways over and beyond tithing. So I'm not speaking about tithing today. We're going to call it offerings or giving over and beyond tithing. Because God's people bring their tithes and they bring their offerings. So the title of my message, hopefully it's on the back there, is Giving Brings Joy and Peace. I want you to know that as I preach this message, I am preaching from what I have experienced in life. I am preaching from the heart. I'm not preaching from just what I've read in Scripture. I'm not preaching just from what God has shared with me. I am preaching my life, how I live life, how I live life. I want you to know that it comes from the depth of my life. For God's people are generous, for he is generous towards us. Love gives generously is actually one of our kingdom culture values. It's a very powerful one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. When we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we bring his joy and his life to others. And I know that for a fact that that happens. When we follow in his footsteps, we bring his joy and we bring his life to others. I just want to share a little bit about my beginnings of being a Christian. When I was 19 when I became a Christian. And, I was so blessed to have a sister and her husband who were so strong in their faith. And they lived out this message in their lives already. And so when I became a Christian, I copied them. I came under their discipling. I came under in their leadership in a way. And they showed me firsthand. I saw the blessing it was to be generous in all areas of our life. Now I know my husband, when I was sharing what I was speaking about yesterday, he goes, "Yeah, but what about being generous in all sorts of these other areas?" And I go, "I know all that. I understand that's what some of you are probably asking yourself right now, but today we are talking about financial generosity." So Michelle and John, my sister and her husband, are just amazing. They are just are very generous. Where they don't give so that they're completely lacking. I'm not talking about that sort of generosity. They give when they hear the Lord's voice and they are obedient to that. And so they discipled us. And they actually taught us that generosity is actually fun and is actually joyous. Not only for the person who receives or the people who receive or the church that receives, is actually fun and joyous for us as well. So why the title of giving brings joy in life? It captures the spirit of giving, the heart of God. It captures the heart of God. Jesus gave his life, as I said in the scripture before. And grace, thanksgiving and generosity are all very closely connected. So when Peter and I got together, a couple of years after I became a Christian, we just got into the swing of things of tithing. Tithing just, you know, came with just being Christian, walking with him. We loved the church. He really put a love for the church in our hearts. We knew that was his heart as well. And, you know, we share a lot of interests and passions, Peter and I. We are so alike in the things actually we enjoy doing together. We're going skiing shortly. We love walking. We love nature. We love family. We love food. We love coffee. I actually introduced him to coffee. I'm not sure whether he's happy about that, but now he loves coffee. We love being with people. We love our downtime, so we love quietness as well. So we actually share a lot. But what I am so grateful for is that he actually shares the love of being generous. And so it's actually not a big issue for us to be on the same page, because we just tune into what God is saying, and there's not one sort of fighting one way and one fighting the other way. We go, you know, we both actually enjoy this. We actually find it fun. And so we just get onto the same page really quickly. So I am just honouring you, Pete. I'm actually very grateful that we find it actually quite delightful and fun. We actually get a real buzz out of this, and we actually feel so close to Jesus when we walk in this. Today we're going to look at a couple of examples of giving in the Word of God and what they teach us. There's heaps, but I'm just going to focus on a couple and just share a couple little stories. So let's have a look at our first reading. Now, this first reading out of 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15, and hopefully that will come up on the screen. Beautiful. So this is where a collection was being taken up for the impoverished church in Jerusalem. And it was in the first century. The church in Macedonia had already contributed, and Paul was now urging the church in Corinth and across Achaia to complete the collection that they had already committed to. So they were helping the church in Jerusalem, who were really struggling. So let's read from verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, he's teaching them, he's sharing with them, he's encouraging them to continue with their giving. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. And now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I love that. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, who is Jesus. This financial collection was not merely about money. It actually represented the love and concern of the Gentile church for their Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul was teaching the Corinthians about the grace of giving and to encourage them to complete this collection. It's a matter of the heart, and Pastor JJ spoke about that last week. He said, give cheerfully. Well, don't give it all. Give cheerfully. Giving should be fun when it's done with the right spirit. God's desire is for us to have more than we need. Not a prosperity message, I'm not saying that, but it is his desire for us to have more than we need so that we can be a blessing to others. Giving enriches us when we give. God graces us for giving. Do you realise that? He has graced every single believer here with giving because he is a giver. People will praise God because of our generosity, and it inspires them as well. Our giving represents the love and concern we have for others. He said that the church is called to care for those who are really in need. And that's why the church pastorally, I oversee the pastoral care side of things, and I know that far more happens than what I have my hands on. People are very generous in this church and very kind to each other, and I know the life group leaders, and I know they're very generous to their people as well. And we build our faith and character through generosity, and it unites us as a family. So giving breeds life and joy back into people's lives and into the church. Just think for a moment how life-giving it would be if we all gave to help the body of Christ in need. Think of natural disasters, think of war, think of at the ACC, the Australian Christian Church's relief work. There are multiple ways and calls when there are crises around the world. I know that with our missions work, you know, Pete's been on two missions trips. I haven't ever been on a missions trip before, but I know that he was talking about it yesterday and just saying what fun it was to actually supply pigs for the local people. And also they kitted out a preschool place and helped do up a cafe and all those things. Yes, there was physical labour involved, but there was money involved as well. Church plants, reaching new people groups. So I want to have a look at another reading, and this is a different way to give as well, or for a different reason. And it's found in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 to 9. And hopefully it'll be on the screen. 1 Chronicles 29. So this is about the contributions made for the building of the temple, which Solomon actually began in 966 BC. King David, his father, had so wanted to be the one who did the building. But he wasn't given the mandate by God for it. It was given to his son for all sorts of reasons. But David had such a heart for building the temple. And this was, back in the Old Testament time, this was where the presence of God was found. And so King David's heart was just rejoicing at the thought of building something for the Father, for the God Almighty. But what he did, he couldn't build it, but he actually poured so much of his own resources into the construction of the temple. So let's read from verse 6. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, just listen to the people who are giving, the leaders, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. That's a lot. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel and the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly. So can you see who was rejoicing there? You know, it wasn't just King David. It was the leaders who gave. And then the people would have given after that because the leaders set such a great, thorough example of what it was to be generous. But everyone was rejoicing here. Everyone. The leaders were rejoicing as they gave, and the people were rejoicing. King David rejoiced to see his people doing this. They're setting an example. So today we are actually the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? We know that. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when we give to build up the temple of the Holy Spirit and to disciple and all the things that are involved in that, that's a great thing to be generous towards. And that includes buildings. You know, we are going to be doing up our building, and that is where people are going to be discipled. That is where we can be housed so that we can worship undercover. You know what it's like in Melbourne? Okay. okay if we're in another part of the world where there was no rain and it was like a balmy, like about 25 degrees Celsius, you don't need buildings, you just get a beautiful like shelter. That'd be awesome. But, you know, we live in Melbourne and so we need buildings. We need buildings to do things. So we can give to that as well. Our special projects, community outreach projects, and we're going to start bringing these in. We are going to rejoice at being able to give towards community projects. How much fun is it to see community projects take off and make such a difference in people's lives? Let's have a look at another scripture, Romans 12, 3 to 8. Okay, I want you to listen carefully to these words. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we have different gifts that have been given us by the Lord, according to the grace given to each, We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Now, we're all called to do these things, but these are specific gifts that have been given. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Every gift is important and needed in the body of Christ. But we need to make sure that we have been given a gift specifically for different things, walk in it. I'm asking you, walk in the gift that you have been given. Because if you don't, the body of Christ miss out. We miss out. If I deny the things that God has put in me, and I know what they are, we know what they are, don't we? Then I am denying you. You can't hear from him, or you can't. Some things don't happen through me. Now, he'll bring other people in if I just step aside and just ignore what God has put in me. But there are people here that I know, and this is exciting. You know that you've been given the gift of generosity. In actual fact, it comes easy to you. It is so easy for you. I'm not talking about that you can give so much. We're all called to give in different ways. You know, God brings certain finances into our lives in different amounts. I understand that. But you know, as I read that scripture, you go, I actually know I've been given the gift of generosity. I know that is one of actually Peter's highest giftings. One of his lowest is mercy. I know it is. When our daughter, when she was four, chopped off her fringe. And she goes, oh, my goodness, my hair's gone. He goes, it's all right, darling. I wasn't there. I was not there to supervise. He got it and he sticky taped it back again. And she cried even more. Okay, he loves our kids. He's made up for it over time. I've probably told that story because it is so funny. But lowest gift, but I know his gift is giving. And you may be sitting here, and bless you if it is. Let's make sure we don't think of ourselves any more highly, because we have certain gifts, either in sober judgment, and we just are obedient to what God has given us. I want to give you three profound ways of growing in your faith when it comes to giving. Three profound ways. They're going to blow your socks off. I'm going to say them one by one, quickly, and then I'm going to go through them briefly. Walk with Jesus, stay close to him, listen to his voice, and just blooming well obey him. So the first one, walk with Jesus, stay close to him, hear his heart for people, hear his heart for the church, hear his heart for the lost. Just stay close to him. If we stay close to other things and not Jesus, we'll hear that heart instead. But stay close to him. Listen to his voice. If you stay close to him, you will hear his voice. Do you want to hear his voice? I want to hear his voice. I want to hear what he's saying. I want to hear what he's saying, how I can contribute to his kingdom here on earth. We are given, you know, I helped with a funeral on Friday. We are given such a short time on earth. I want to live out my days serving him, hearing his heart, listening to his voice, and I want to be able to go into his presence at the end of my days and go, Lord, I followed you. I know it's not going to be perfectly. There are so many times I slip up. I know we slip up at different times and ignore his voice or just, you know, we're concentrating, we're sidetracked, we're concentrating on other things. But that is my heart. That is my heart. Let it be our heart as well. So listen to his voice. So if he asks you to do something when it comes to your finances and generosity, be brave, follow through. You know he's not going to ask you to do something to make you fall. He doesn't ask us to do things where we will fall. He breathes life and joy into us as we give to others. We don't give, and it said it actually earlier on in the scripture. We didn't read that actual line, but it said earlier on in that first scripture that he's not trying to make us lack so that others will do well. He's not like that. He's not mean like that. He's so wonderful, and he wants to build us up, and he wants to build others up through us. So just listen to his voice. If you hear him say something, just follow through. Walk in obedience. Just walk in obedience. Don't dally. Don't put it off. He'll knock again, and then he'll probably stop knocking on that particular one because we've ignored him. Just follow through. I tell you what, it brings a spring to my step. It brings such joy. Some of my favourite times is when I'm able to be generous. Now, there's all sorts of way to be generous. You know, we support compassion. Now, I'm talking about things outside the church here. These are extra things. But I love compassion. We've got three little kids, so their pictures are up on the fridge and, you know, I'm able to give into their lives. CBM is an organisation that I actually volunteered with before I actually came into Pneuma, and it was great. So I stepped out of a leadership role at our last church. I had a sabbatical year, and we were still going to church, but we hadn't put our roots down specifically here at Pneuma, and so I just wanted to do something. So I worked with CBM, but I had been actually supporting them for years. That is close to my heart. Find things that are close to your heart. CBM is Christian, well, it used to be called Christian Blind Mission. It is close to my heart. I had a cousin, my cousin has cerebral palsy, he was my age, and I just have always had a heart for people struggling with disabilities. And CBM supports people in countries who are disabled, the poorest of the poor, in poor countries, who are the poorest of the poor in those countries. They're usually the forgotten ones in times of crisis. So there's something that is really close to my heart. There might be small things you can do, large things you can do. During COVID, I found that quite a fun time to work out how to be generous. I know many of us were like that, you know, found opportunities to because we needed to. It did something for me. Did it do something for you when you gave out to others? You know, the church delivered meals and helped people gave gifts. I think it was Easter or Mother's Day or Father's Day. I can remember delivering some on the behalf of the church. And it was good to be generous. It just lifted people's spirits. It opens people's hearts to how good God is. It fixes their eyes on him. It helps them to thank God. We want people. We don't want, yes, they will thank you if they know about it. I mean, lots of times we do things and no one will ever know. And that's another way to give, where you just, no one knows it, who has done what, but they know they're happy recipients and their eyes are focused on you. Other times you do, they know that you've been in the picture. Christmas hampers. We've given Christmas hampers over the years through local schools. The joy that it brings, not only the recipient of that Christmas hamper, that family, but the school, the teachers, and they all know that God's involved in the picture. It's amazing. So I just want to finish off. In the words of Nikki Gumbel, the only appropriate response to God's amazing grace revealed in Jesus Christ is to give him thanks with your worship, your giving, and your whole lives. To surrender your life to him and say, I am willing to do whatever you want. I know that when we grow in that capacity to be generous, we actually grow in our relationship with Jesus, because it really ties us closely with the heart of God. I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for different people. I want to pray that we will all have more willing and open hearts and walk in obedience when it comes to generosity. I also want to pray for those who actually find it hard to receive. Because there are some people here, I know there was always someone in the crowd in a church who finds it hard to receive. And there might be lots of different reasons for that. Maybe it's because you might think you're not worthy of receiving. But you are. We tell you you're worthy because Christ tells you you are worthy. You are his child and you are worthy of everything that he wants to give to you. So I ask those people who find it hard to receive, allow people, when they feel led by the Holy Spirit to be generous with you, say thank you and receive. Even if you're usually the giver, God wants to bless you. I mean, we receive here every single week. We receive from the worship team. We receive from people here. We receive in company that we keep here. We're always receiving from each other. But if someone wants to do something kind for you, just accept it. Accept it. Be brave. And actually ask the Lord, help me to acknowledge and to receive well. And I also want to pray for those who believe they have the gift of generosity. I'm not asking people to stand for these different things. I just want to pray for you all. I want to pray for these things. So, Lord, actually, let's stand. Stretch. I see someone stretching up the top there. Have a stretch. Shake the shoulders. So, Father, just close your eyes. Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you that you are such a generous God. We thank you that you have given us your Son. Went to the cross for us. He gave his life for us. He shows us what you are like, Father. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You asked your people to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and now we are the very happy recipients of that as well. We thank you for your gift. We pray, Lord God, that we will have such a heart for people and such a heart for seeing your kingdom come, your will be done on here as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. I pray, Lord God, that we will be brave and step out in faith, not only staying close to you, walking with you, being attuned to your voice when it comes to generosity and not blocking it off, and being obedient, walking in obedience. And I pray, I declare joy over your people. I declare freedom over your people. I declare life over your people. And they will be life-giving. We will be life-giving people. And I pray for those who have always struggled up until this moment, up until this morning, to receive. You, through your Son, have made us worthy to be recipients of your good gifts. And whether they come directly from you or through your people, we declare that from this moment forward, that we will receive well. We will be grateful recipients of all good gifts that come from you and through your people. I thank you, Lord, that if you need to break anything over people who have struggled to be recipients of good gifts, then do it today, Lord God. Heal hearts. Heal mindsets. Help us to see ourselves as the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord God. You want to pour your blessing over people's lives? I pray, Lord God, that you will bless every single family, household, and individual here today, no matter what circumstances they're walking in right now. That the joy of the Lord will be their strength when it comes to finances. And I pray, Lord God, for those who know or sense that they have the gift of generosity, a specific gift given by you. You know it comes easily to you. You know that it's just something that, you know, it might be in your business that God pours in, and you find it so easy to pour back out again to bless others, to bless the church. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. Strengthen their resolve, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that they will see this gift as wonderful as all the other gifts are. And I thank you, you will continue to bless them. Raise them up even higher, Lord God. Raise their gift up. Be strong and mighty for you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.